We come, our Father, with thanksgiving in our hearts. We know that every day should be a day of thanksgiving and praise and adoration. We're thankful, especially this morning, that we have this great and beautiful building in which to worship. We know at this very moment in Russia or Romania, Czechoslovakia or China, there are men and women, children worshiping in cold and hunger, but yet grateful for the privilege of being able to pray and to read the scriptures and to sing. We come with the assurance of forgiven sins, realizing that we are here because of your mercy and your understanding of our lives. We pray now that you will cleanse us, purify us for your use, and may our one aim in life be to bring someone else to thee. For it is in your name that we pray. Amen.
Responsive reading number 33. I would ask you to stand, please, as we read the Word of God together. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man.
Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge.
And to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness.
And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love.
Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before.
I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you.
For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding.
That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God.
Our shelter from the stormy blast.
and amen. When I first came to this seminary 3 years ago, while sitting amidst these beautiful surroundings, I asked myself the question, I wonder if I will ever be asked to even lead in silent prayer from that platform. And I find myself today as a choice of the student council speaking as representative of the Master of Divinity students. I'm deeply grateful for this opportunity which is given to me. I think, however, the reason they chose me, they said that there needs to be a brightness about our chapel services. And Dr. Copeland had already spoken, so they went to the next best brightness on the campus and chose me, I feel. I also know that standing here a few weeks ago in our student council introductory session, that I said if I ever get the opportunity to speak, I will be scared to death. And I certainly was right about that. I may never get another chance to speak before a portion of our student body, nor our professors, nor our administrators. But I want to take this opportunity to express my deep appreciation for what Southeastern Seminary has come to mean to me. I'm grateful for our administrators, led by Dr. Binkley, with his devotion to our Lord, to this school, and to each of us as students. I'm grateful to each of the professors who have given their best that I might learn to be a more effective minister of Jesus Christ. I'm grateful also for my fellow students, one of whom has meant very much to me. I've asked to lead us in our morning prayer. But each of you have become a very important part of all that I am to be. Sometimes our most unsung personalities are those that do the singing. And I want to express deep, heartfelt appreciation for Dr. Johnson and the ensemble for what they've added to our worship since they have begun to sing in these worship services. I believe in the power of evil. For a time in my pilgrimage, I wondered if I believed in the devil or not. But I've come to believe in the reality of the devil. And I was glad during summer school to hear one of our most esteemed professors verify the fact that he too believed in the reality of the devil. For I feel that it is because of his design and man's own will to sin that we're living in critical days today, very critical days. Our day is a day which is unfavorable to most persons on the face of this earth and is a day attended with great risk. Dangers are lurking beneath the surface of man's interaction with man. This surface appears at times quite smooth. However, sometimes the undercurrents below and the winds that blow above cause it to be rather choppy and quite unsettled. No one seems to fully realize that underneath it all, there lies the danger of complete world holocaust. My friends, my fellow Christians, we have a fight on our hands in this, the 1970s, and we can no longer just float along in a dry-eyed church in a hell-bound world. We may belittle experience, and we may speak of the dangers of emotion, but we are suffering today from a species of Christianity as dry as dust, as cold as ice, as pale as a corpse, and as dead as King Tut. We are suffering not from a lack of correct heads, but rather from a lack of consumed hearts. As Alexander McLaren has said it well, it was not Erasmus, the polished, learned, mighty intellect of his time, who made Germany over. It was rough, rugged Martin Luther, with a conviction and compassion as deep as life. It is my conviction that the crisis, the turning point, is here. Right now, we must make the decision to live or to die. As people, as churches, as denominations, as a world. And we cannot win in this battle against evil and its consequences if we continue to pit a lukewarm church against a burning paganism. God forgive us, in an hour as this one, that we have been dry Christians, preaching a dynamite gospel and living firecracker lives. Brethren, we Christians are heavyweights who belong in the ring. We do not belong, and neither can we stand, on the apron of an ineffective faith. We must get involved with the problems of man. And let us not forget that what all men, and let me reemphasize that, what all men everywhere need is an experiential knowledge of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. It does not really matter in the long run what we give man, even if we meet most all of his needs, if at the same time we do not give him Jesus too. Jesus Christ is the answer to me. He is the answer, for he is a changeless Lord. The scriptures teach us that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I would like to emphasize that with God there is but one tense, and that's the present tense. As Shadrach Meshach Lockridge, S.M. Lockridge of California, the great black preacher, who in my opinion is one of the greatest living preachers today, as he has said it, the Lord was, is, the Lord is, and the Lord shall ever be is. There is no change in him. Christ is changeless in his wisdom, and his wisdom never ceases to astonish men. Christ is changeless in his holiness, for it is he and he alone who is the divine Son of God. Christ is changeless in his love, through which he died to prove. Christ is changeless in his power, through which he overcomes the world. And let us Christians not forget that greater is he, the Christ, that is within us, than he that is within the world. The Lord Jesus Christ is a changeless Lord, and he remains changeless in his ability to save. And only he can do this. Yes, Christ is the answer. He is the answer to me, for he is the conqueror. He conquered in life, for only his life was an undefiled life. He conquered in death, and what has become Good Friday for us has become Bad Friday for the devil. He conquered through the resurrection, and because he lives, we can face tomorrow. My friends, if you and I would be really honest with ourselves, the only time we really get to feeling as though we cannot face tomorrow is when we are out of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Christ is conqueror. And he will conquer at his second coming, and I believe in a glorious second coming of Christ. Jesus is coming again, not just to claim us in death as he is doing daily, but I believe also to claim his own in glory. Christ is the answer, for he is the challenger to the spiritually hungry and thirsty as I. He is the bread and water of life, and he challenges us to come, eat, and drink. To the weary who feel that there is no reason for going on, he says, "Come unto me and rest." To those away from him, he says, "Repent ye, return ye, and live." To all of us who know him, including us preachers, including us educational directors and denominational leaders and professors and administrators, he challenges us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not be ashamed. The Lord Christ challenges us to preach, not only by our words, but also by our lives and by the expressions of our love. His challenge to us is to be a new humanity, to be regenerated, to be a new creation. And let me remind you, one cannot live the new life without being new. We are to be righteous. That means we are by God's power to think right. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We are also to act right. We are to be right. Some, and maybe most of us, act as though God is blind, we talk as though God is deaf, and we live as though God is dead. Don't live substandard lives here or anywhere. It is so important for us to allow Christ to live again through us, at all times and in all places, including the seminary, including our churches and our homes. And let me say as an aside here that some of us seminarians are so involved with our schooling and with our churches that we are allowing and maybe even causing our families to live in a temporal hell, a hell of husband and daddy neglect. A man is no better anywhere else than he is in his own home. Remember to live each day to its fullest, for you will never pass this way again. You are today what you are becoming. Now, ever since I've been in the seminary, I've heard people say in the library, in the commons room, in the campus store, and all over this campus, "When I get out of seminary, I'm really going to become all that God wants me to be." And I'm going to be frank and honest with you. That must be the biggest lie the devil has caused you to believe. For you are what you are becoming. And unless you are living to your fullest for Jesus Christ during your seminary work, you will never be able to live to your fullest anywhere else. If not here amidst the spirituality and the power of Christian learning and discipline, then nowhere can the Christian life be lived. Let us take life as it is. And by our Christ-like presence, Christ living over again through us, help to bring life to be more as it ought to be. And how can this be done? First, let me hasten to say it must be done by the help of God and only by his help. But we must be reverent personalities. We must strive daily to be happy in our relationship with Christ and with others and with ourselves. And may we never forget that happiness is not in what one has, but rather in what one is. We need to be honest and honorable and generous and sincere. But may we also be prayerful, for he stands best and tallest who kneels the most. May we be an example of the believers. Yes, may we be as the Lord Christ would have us be. How? By getting alone with God often, confessing our sins daily, claiming the redemption offered in the Christ, being filled with his Holy Spirit, and going out to be fools in the eyes of the world for Christ's sake. And may I hasten to say, the half-hearted need never apply. Shall we pray? Dear Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus, asking that you would help the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts to be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.